All right, so as you're finding your seat then, and we'll get to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9. If you're just joining us online, forgive me for taking a little longer in the explanation of the memory verse. And we have some new tracts at church. Feel free to come grab them as well. Looking forward to being able to get out and share the gospel again on a regular basis through the door-to-door calling program in a couple of weeks here. So, all right, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We started this study last week. Let me just real quick run through. This is the one of the final chapters in just before we come to some really hard truths or strong good truths, if we want to put it that way. As Solomon's sharing the truth of who God is and trying to draw the listener to come to faith in Christ, faith in Jehovah God. So Ecclesiastes 9, three big questions in considering God. So if there really is a God, okay, so the listener's being willing to say, oh, okay, if there's really God, well, there's some things I need to know about, right? So as verse 1 says, if it's true that life is only meaningful in the fear of the Lord, why, when I look at life under the sun, this is again in the words of the listener, can't I tell if God loves me or if he hates me? That he hates me seems to be more probable. And as I look at the circumstances of life, it looks like life's against me. And there's several reasons why it looks like life's against them. And we'd started this, we'd went through point number one last week. The reality is we all die. Whether we follow God's way, we're righteous, or whether we follow man's way, the wicked, at the end of the day, we're dead. Yet, we know this instinctively, that this wrong, this seems wrong. It seems like that's not fair. Death is the observable evil. It's something we all see. And because of that, folly abounds in this life. People say, oh, phooey. They're not willing to consider God. So verse 4 to 6, man instinctively knows that life and its blessings are better than death and its forgetfulness, all right, or its forgottenness, I should say. A living dog's better than a dead lion, all right? So there's something about life that we cherish and love, and there seems to be value to, but without God, we don't understand it. And he says, okay, I need to understand, because we all die. Is this really fair? Man also knows that good works and life's blessings have something to do with God. Again, even people that are trying to work their way to heaven try to do good things, not bad things, that generally speaking. Man is moral and finds a certain satisfaction in good pursuits. So remember, we saw the spiritual truth last week, that the goodness of God should lead one to repentance. God is good. There are blessings in this life, and that should draw us to accept that there's a good God. One of the things that we're going to discover as we go along the way here is, why is it that we have all these bad things? Well, Solomon is going to address us as we come to the end of the book. There are reasons for that. So, on the backside of your notes, point number two, as we come to verses 11 and 12 then of the chapter, time and chance win the day. So again, as the listener looks at life, we all die. And then he also says here in verse 11, well, it seems like I'm kind of stuck. I just happen to be at the wrong spot at the wrong time. But that seems to happen to a lot of us, all right? That's the idea. Let's read verses 11 and 12. I returned and saw under the sun, again, key phrase, he's looking at life without God, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. Now, this illustration is like, whoa, all right? As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. Okay, the coup in Myanmar. Here we just prayed for someone that's caught in the middle of that. Time and chance happeneth to us all. It's an evil net. All right, so we see that, and as we go to the notes, this is the listener. We need to answer this question. Why is life seemingly bad, and why does it seem to be random? A guy can be skilled at his work. A guy can work hard to keep himself in good shape and die. and the guy that could care less, he's a drunkard, a glutton, and he lives into his 90s. All right. Okay, so even in our good pursuits, notice it in our notes, even in our good pursuits, evil times randomly ensnare us. The tornado hit my house. Why? You know, that's that. Why? I had to help people understand that that may not be some direct thing of God against you. They just think of this, they call it evil, and they said, God's against me. How do you know? Well, there's other parts of that equation that you need to evaluate clearly, and God's word gives us direction in that. Am I sinning? Maybe it is chastisement. But it could be that God wants to use you through an evil time to proclaim his glory. And he knows he can trust you to not get angry at him because something's gotten bad in your life. All right, we know that from a Christian view, but from a worldly view, from a listener view that's just starting to consider God, this seems to be really random. Remember, as we saw in chapter 3, verse 1, you know, everything there is a season. The occasions of life are unpredictable. Time of war, time of peace. What do I get caught in? Well, we always want peace, but it seems like we're catching in war, all right? Now, here's the spiritual truth from verse 11 and 12. We are not the masters of our own fate. And that really bugs the unbeliever who's trying to control his life. It doesn't seem fair. I do everything to try to protect myself, to give myself a good life, and then this, whatever this, happens. That's not fair. And the reality is I need to learn this truth. Believers, we struggle with this at times too because we're very self-centered. And we want to be the God of our own life. But I'm not the masters of my own fate. There is much in life that we accept from the hand of the Lord. And it may not seem to be a blessing in the moment. But God is sovereign. And we trust him, knowing that he will help and aid me all through that. All right? So we are not the masters of our own fate. So, believer, the application for us is obviously what I've already hinted at. I need to trust the Lord through thick and thin, through good times and bad times, knowing that he'll walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death, but knowing full well that goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. You see that, how that works? Now, I need to help the unbeliever come to realize that that can only be found, that peace and that settlement in an up and down world can only come through God. So it's a good question. Life seems to be unfair to me. What kind of God is that? Well, life's unfair not because of God, because of sin. All right? This world has been destroyed and tainted by sin and sinners. We have a great spiritual battle going on. We've seen it in our study on Sunday mornings as Christ is heading to the cross. There is a lot of significance to the spiritual battles that go on that we can't see. All right? And we may not fully understand, but we trust the Lord through it. Okay, so for the unbeliever to come to realize that he's not the master of his own fate can be very humbling. But it's an important spot to come to because there's only one person he can depend on for life, and that's God. So for him to acknowledge that he's not the master of his own fate is really good. Okay, it's already 8:05, all right? We'll stop there. I thought I could push through to the end. But I'll be patient, all right? Chapter 10's coming, and it's going to be great, too. I was getting fired up about getting into that study. But we'll wait for that. So we'll wrap up chapter 9 next week, Lord willing. Introduce a little bit, probably, to chapter 10. Hopefully give you an overview. So then in a couple weeks, we'll be able to jump into that as well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you again for your word. And thank you for the willingness that you share with us to answer hard questions. And this listener, as Solomon is kind of paraphrasing for him, is asking some pretty hard questions. Truth is never afraid to be questioned if it comes from a heart that wants to listen and learn. May we be careful to be good listeners, and may you give us opportunity this week to help others come to know and understand the wonderful God that you are. May we, as we saw in Psalm 126, rejoice in our great God, and may our life be a testimony for him this week. In your name we pray. Amen.